It's been real refreshing this morning to be here in this service. I just love the saints and the Spirit of the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to have God come by and visit us and to help us to know that He's concerned about us and that He is looking in on our little gathering here today. We appreciate the Lord's blessings to us, and I desire your prayers this morning that God would help us. He'd bless His Word to the good of our life. Do pray for me this morning. I want to try to go as quickly as I can with what I have, and I pray the Lord will bless it to the good of our understanding and to the good of our life, and we'll profit from the Word of God. The Bible is profitable. The Word of God is profitable for reproof, for correction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, in the 7th verse, I'd like to start reading here. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I'd like to talk to us today about iniquity. Iniquity. Iniquity is something that's hidden. Iniquity is different than sin. There's some of the same results, but there is something different about iniquity. Something about it that I've been studying and looking at iniquity and what it is and what it means to us in life and how we deal with iniquity. And as we look into the Word of God, please pray for me today. I have several scriptures to read, but it'll be in vain unless the Lord touches our hearts. It'll all be worthless unless the Lord blesses it to the good of our understanding. The scripture we started off with this morning, I can't say that that's my pivotal scripture that I have, and that is everything revolves around that. But I want to open our hearts here today by the Word of God and help us to see the mystery of iniquity. A mystery is something that's hidden from the full understanding of man. A mystery is something that's not fully revealed. And this mystery of iniquity is something today that every one of us, young and old, no matter your background, wherever you're at today, iniquity is something we all have to deal with. Some things that are, and some things may be a little difficult for us to understand, and maybe not. This may go, you may go far above what I'm thinking today, and your mind is thinking up something different. But I'd like to look first of all and start with another little something, not little, but let's look at God for a moment. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, let's look at God here for a moment and see where He is at in this picture. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, and all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. So, if we can start off here, we have a basis to work from. There's no iniquity in our God. There's nothing but truth. There's nothing in Him but righteousness. Iniquity is something earth people have to deal with. All of us humans have to deal with iniquity. The sins of our forefathers, the sins in our own life, the things that possibly we have been stumped up by or we trip over and we don't understand where things come from. Lord, why am I being tempted this way? Why do I feel like I do? God wants to help us this morning to deal with this little problem of iniquity. And again, He is holy. He is true. There is none in God. It's in mankind that this comes from. And we need God to help us with that today. Iniquity, the Greek word is anomia. It means not being subject to God's law. Iniquity is doing our own will, even if our own will appears to be doing good. I'd like us to keep that in mind today. Iniquity can be on the outside looking something that looks good that I'm doing, but down inside there may be a wrong motive of why I'm doing that, and there can be that wrong motive can lead us in the wrong way. Iniquity is lawlessness and willfulness. Iniquity is an attitude. It's anger, wrath, and bitterness, greed, lust, and pride. And we read where iniquity is something of a mystery. It's something not all the way known to mankind. So may the Lord encourage and help us today. We're going to talk with you just plainly today by the word of the Lord and ask the Lord to open our hearts and do desire your prayers today. In the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus gives us a little better insight into this. And I trust the Lord will help us today that we will get a little insight in it too. Matthew 5:27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You might say they didn't do the very act. The very act was not committed. That's exactly what I'm getting at today. Iniquity is something that's hid. It's something that you don't fully see. It's not something that is fully known, like the very act of adultery. You see, sin or iniquity is a covert act of willfulness. Covert means something that is done secretly. When the special operations team goes in, a tactical force, something in the military, they will say, tonight we're going to do a covert, we're going to have a covert operation. They don't tell you what they're going to do, do they? It's something done in secret. It is something done and nobody knows about it. This is like iniquity. It's a covert thing. Jesus said, I say unto you, it's something different. You've heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he said, there's something far greater than just the act physically. There is that inward desire and that longing and that desire. If you had the opportunity to do something, and it's there. This is where iniquity, this is the root that we're getting down to this morning. And it's something, it's a covert act. It's hidden. It's not always there. I think about when I was a boy, I wanted a Yamaha 55. It had chrome panels on the side of this motorcycle. I wanted that thing so bad. I coveted after that thing. I wanted that. That was a Yamaha 55, and to hear that start up and see that smoke come out of that little tailpipe and that chrome muffler, I wanted that thing. I wanted it so bad. And you know what? I lied to get it. But nobody, my dad didn't know that. It was hid from him. You see, you can do things that's hidden and nobody knows about it. Nobody sees it. They don't see the very what you're thinking about in your heart. You can lust after something, a car. Oh, I want that so bad. I want that thing so bad. And nobody knows what you're thinking, but you do in your heart. Because there is something going on that you want that so bad. You're willing to cheat, lie, whatever, even steal to get that. Now, I could tell you some other things that I've done, but I think it's sufficient to say today, Iniquity is something that is covert. It's something hidden. It's a mystery. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. And how we handle these little mysteries is going to determine the degree of our success in our spiritual life. It's because we don't have a police force that comes by in the church of God and say, you know, what are you thinking? And I'm going to come by and knock on your door. Have you been thinking any bad thoughts today? Have you been coveting after anything? No, we don't do that. But God knows. God knows where we're at, each and every one of us. And, you know, you can fool me. You can fool me. I'm easily fooled. You can have a beautiful smile and shake my hand, hug my neck. You can be ever so friendly to me. But if deep down inside your heart's not with me, you know, there's something going on. We can be fooled. But God knows where each and every one of us are at today. And He wants us to deal with this little problem of iniquity. Jesus, if we can keep this in focus, this is a pivotal scripture today in everything that I say. Because Jesus dealt with this very thing. He said, I tell you, it's on the inside. It's on the inside. It's what you're thinking. It's where you're at on the inside. Our outside, you know, you may be there, but you're not there. You may look like you're here, but you're really down deep. You're somewhere else. May God help us today. If iniquity is a covert act of willfulness, sin is the overt act of transgression. And that's where Jesus was coming from. Here's the hidden, here's the covert, and here's the overt. Here's the part of the actual transgression. He said, you all are feeling comfortable about this actual sin of adultery, and you're clean, and that you've never done this. But he said, I tell you, it goes further than that. You may not be overtly doing these things, but covertly, there's something happening inside, and it's causing us trouble. So we need to look down in the heart. God is the one. He looks in our hearts, folks. We can fool people, but we can't fool God. And we need to be looking at that inward side. The book of Psalms 66. In a way, I apologize for having so many scriptures, but another way, I don't apologize. There's a lot of things to look at today. How serious is this that we're talking about? What about iniquity? How serious is this matter? In 66 and 18 of Psalms, it says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. To me, that's serious. I don't know how you get any more serious than that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I esteem that, if I don't take care of some things that covertly are working in my life, the Lord's not going to hear me. And I want Him to hear me. I'm desperate to hear, for the Lord to hear me. I'm desperate for Him to work with me. I believe all of us are. But He said, don't you regard iniquity in your heart, because the Lord will not hear you if we do that. It's a very serious matter. And the book of Ezekiel, the 8th chapter and the 7th verse. Here was a situation. I may not be able to go into all of it in detail. But here, the prophet Ezekiel had a little problem with this iniquity business. 8 and 7, he brought me to the door of the court of Ezekiel, 8 and 7. And he said, behold, a hole in the wall. And I'm not going to read all this. You're free to read that, though. When this man of God came to a place, the Lord said, Ezekiel, I want you to go to where there's a hole in the wall. And I tell you, the ministry sometimes gets put in peculiar places. You might say, Lord, why'd you send me over here to a little old hole in the wall? He said, it's because I want you to start digging in something. I want you to dig in that hole. Now that really looks Real brilliant, doesn't it? Here, what are you preachers doing snooping around anyway? How come you're over here digging around that hole in the wall? Why don't you patch the hole? The Lord said, go to the hole and start digging. And he said he did. And when he went and he began to dig in that hole, the hole got bigger. And he made an opening and he went in. And once he got in, he seen what was going on around him. He began to see what the ancients were doing. He began to see the iniquity behind the little hole in the wall. God help us today. There's little things that appear so innocent. And the Lord comes by and says, I want you to pry back in there. Get your foothold. I want you to pull away that plaster. There's something going on behind here you don't see. It's not open to the public. It's not open. But once you get in behind there and you see that, boy, don't you know there's trouble. When you find them little holes in the wall, the Lord said, I want you to dig. Brethren, we better get down real low before the Lord, because when you start digging and you get back there, you're going to find things that's going to, it's going to be Satan's little kingdom and his little workings and his little powerhouse that he has. And that's what was happening behind there. He said, go back there and start digging. And when he did, he said, the people said, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth, in this 12th verse. The Lord doesn't even see anyway. But yes, he does. God sees behind those little holes. And he knows where we're at today. He wants us to be faithful to him. He wants us to see. You can't hide. We can't hide behind little things. Even though it looks good on the outside. But back deep, back behind the wall, there was things that was happening. He said, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. What a terrible place to be. How would you like to be in Ezekiel? He said, oh, I wouldn't like to have got in that mess. I wouldn't either. But somebody did. And it's a warning to us today. Be careful in our lives. Be careful we don't let something get in our heart, in our life, and something going on. And these people back behind there, it was a whole city. It wasn't just one person back there smoking a pipe. It was a whole bunch of people back there doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And don't you know, he was a welcome guest. Uh-oh, what are you doing in here? How'd you get in here? I came through the hole in the wall. Don't you know that looked good? Oh, may the Lord, when he begins to deal with us and exposes things in our life, God wants to work with us in a way that he gets our attention and he helps us to see, you can't hide from me. You can't hide. And you might put things up in barriers and nobody ever know that, but God knows what's behind that. He knows where we're at. In the book of Proverbs, please pray for me today, 30th chapter of Proverbs, and the 11th verse down to the 14th verse. I want to talk to us just a little bit here about generational iniquities. Do y'all like hand-me-downs? I was the youngest in our family, and hand-me-downs sometimes come our way. Hand-me-downs are not always that bad, though, but when it comes to things that's handed down from our forefathers, folks, we got a bucket full. We got more than we can handle. Listen, he said, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And then there's a generation that follow behind them that are pure in their own eyes and yet not washed from their filthiness. And coming up along them, behind them, there's a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. And now he said, there's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Generational iniquities. Things that are passed from one generation to the other. And sometimes unknowingly. Most people, if you'd ask them, where'd you get that from? I don't know. You know, we teach a little class on Monday mornings with some ladies that have come out of lots of trouble. Now, these ladies are trying to straighten their lives up. But every day, every Monday, we have a lesson at 10 o'clock, and we talk about different things like we're talking about here today. And I get to talking with them women. My wife teaches on a couple of days, and I teach on one day. But these generational iniquities, oh, they are so... If you begin to see what happens when you fail in your lifetime, when you fail, and what it does to your children and to your children's children, when you think about an alcoholic father and what effect it has on his children and his children's children, it goes a long ways. It carries a long ways. Oh, these ladies, if you could see some time and hear their testimony and some of the things they've been through. And most every single time, there was a divided home. There was a problems in the home. My dad drank. My dad used drugs. And we picked it up. Oh, how many things are passed on. Folks, I don't want to leave any baggage. I don't want to leave any baggage. The next generation. But I'll tell you, we're suffering today. Generational iniquities are hurting us so much today. Our nation is reeling and rocking. It is all over the world. People are hurting. There's children that have come up in single parent families. There's children that have come up in alcoholic families and drug abuse and child abuse and all these things. And it passes down from one generation to the other. And it's so critical today that we take care of things, because as Abraham and Sarah, you know, he told a partial lie. He said, Sarah, when we get over in this land of Egypt, these people are going to kill me because you're so pretty. Let's just tell them you're my sister and they won't kill me. You remember that? Abraham did that. It was a partial lie. It was, yes, truly, she was his half-sister. But there was a partial lie in that. She was also his wife. You see what happened to Isaac and Rebekah? He told a full lie, didn't he? And then he lied with Jacob. He had a full lie, plus he had a conspiracy to steal. And here is Sarah and Hagar, Isaac and Ishmael, and all the conflicts and things that passed. If we can begin to look at it and see where little things started, and they picked it up, and it passed down the next generation, and they weren't even there. They weren't even around, but they did not just the same thing their parents did, but they carried it to the next step, further and further. And it goes that way in homes, in families, in our dealings with each other. There's a lot of things that happen we've got to look at today. Iniquity is it's a horrible thing. It's not something that's easy to speak about, but it happens. There are things that happen. Our children pick up, and they don't just do what you did. They go a step further. There's a generation. They curse their father and their mother. And another generation comes along that's self-righteous and filthy. And another generation that comes by that's prideful and arrogant. And another one that comes by at the end that's vicious and ruthless. And may the Lord bless us today to see how all of these things happen. Would you look with me this morning? And I hope the Lord can help us condense some of this. In the book of James, the first chapter... Do you know, I went for years without knowing the difference between sin and iniquity. I did in my life. I didn't know what's the difference. I mean, to me, it was all about the same. But when I began to look and study the Word of God and see different things, how people dealt with sin and iniquity, I began to see. It began to dawn on me. There's a difference. And there's something here we've got to take hold of this morning, get a handle on. I would that we could equip the people of God today with enough knowledge and information that we could be able to do better as a people, that we could do better. We could deal with things and problems when they come about, and we could handle things better than we've done before. If we could be a help, that's my heart's desire. The book of James gives us a sequence of this antinomianism. What I mentioned to you, first of all, the Greek word for iniquity is anomia. Here's a sequence of this antinomianism. But every man is tempted, 1 in 14 of James, when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Can we see a sequence? Did anybody see it? Did you actually see it? No. You didn't always see it. But he said, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then he said, when he is enticed, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Did you see that? No. Did you see when David committed his sin with Bathsheba? Did you see that? Did you see everything that happened before the actual act? No, but there was something working in this man's mind, and he saw her, and you see where it took him. Do you see how this works now? You don't see it with your eyes, but it's something on the heart. You didn't see me covet after a bicycle or a motorcycle or a car. You didn't see me covet after any material thing, but did I do it? Yes, I did. And did it have an effect? It certainly did. And is there people doing it today? Certainly. This happens. People don't just fall into sin. There's a sequence of things that happen. There's a sequence, and there's a way. He said, every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, there's a conception point. There's a conception point where Jesus was dealing with the same thing. Whenever you look and you begin to reason and figure out in your mind if the opportunity and everything happened at the right time, yes, I would do that. And then it's when conception took hold and the actual act came out. But there is a covert part of this, and there's an overt part. You can't see the covert. And this is the part we need to work on today. God, help us in our life. We need the Lord to speak to us and to help us in this sequence. Oh, Lord, help us. Exodus 20. Exodus, the 20th chapter. Here's what it says. It's repeated three times, the 20th chapter of Exodus. And the fifth verse, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, Exodus 20 and 5, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, of them that hate me. Visiting. He's going to visit. He repeats that. Exodus 34 and 7 and Deuteronomy 5, 9 and 10. You're free to read that. When God says, I'm going to visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation, it tells me there is a basis of transference. There is something that can transfer from one generation to the other. And we need to be careful that what we do, it will have an effect on the next generation. I thought about how evil deeds affect future generations. We don't have any question with that. But good deeds also affect future generations. Good deeds also affect them. When I read about in the book of Hebrews 7, 9 and 10, when he spoke about Levi. Levi wasn't even born. It's 125 years later that his great-great-grandfather Abraham paid tithes. And it said Levi was there. It's 125 years the man wasn't even born. But there's something about good deeds. And he said, Levi paid tithes in Abraham. He wasn't even born. If that transference of good can be... He recognized that he was still in his loins. There was something there. May God help us to see evil deeds can be transferred, good deeds. And things for good can also be transferred. And help us to be people that are willing to go against the flesh and the ways of the flesh. And be willing to sow good seeds for Jesus. Look with me now in the book of 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter of 2 Samuel. And today, some of this may be a little strange, but I'll tell you, if you read the Bible and search the Word of God, you'll find there's some things that we have to deal with. 2 Samuel 21, let me give you a little backdrop to save some time. There was a famine. I'll read this verse. There was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. David was the new king, and he came in place. And all of a sudden, there was a famine in the land. Year after year, for 3 years, David began to get serious and he said, Lord, why? And the Lord said, it's because of Saul. Was Saul alive? No. Did David kill the Gibeonites? No. Why was David being punished? Because Saul slew the Gibeonites. It's part of this word today I want us to get a hold of about iniquity and transference. And looking at how God views things. We view things different. The Gibeonites were the people that dressed up. And they came in those old ragged clothes. And they came and they said, oh, we come from a long way. And look at our moldy bread. And look how the shoes are about wore out. And we're from a far country. We heard what God's been doing for you. And we just want to make peace with you. And they said, all right, we will. And I'm making that short. But that's what happened. And when they made that league or that pact or that agreement, they would not kill them. God looked at that agreement. He looked at that agreement. Saul had broke the agreement. And he began to kill those Gibeonites. But it didn't stop there. David becomes king. And he inherits a boiling pot that is boiling over. And troubles and everything are happening. And he said, God, why is this happening? And he said, it's because the Gibeonites. Saul killed them. You might say, well, listen. I didn't do things my dad did. I didn't go out and I didn't drink, and I never done all the things my father did. I know you didn't. Maybe you didn't. But there's still something here that's a little bit a caution to us that things can pass down to us we may not be aware of. I don't believe I think there's... And if we'll look just a little further here, if you'll be patient with me just a little bit now. God wants us to recognize the sins of our forefathers and say, Lord, they're wrong. What they did was wrong. Not that we've done them, but when he comes by to visit the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation, if our hearts sing, Lord, what our forefathers did was wrong. And we repent of it. We're sorry they did that. They shouldn't have done that. I believe the Lord looks on us and there's a special blessing that he will bless us with when we acknowledge some things that our forefathers done. In the book of Hosea, the 8th chapter, Hosea, the 8th chapter and the 7th verse. I want to talk to us just a little bit about the laws of harvest now. 7. For they have sown, this is Hosea 8 and 7. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal, if so it be, so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. When you say, I'm going to go in my lifetime and I'm going to sow some wild oats, when you sow the wind, you're going to reap a whirlwind. The 13th verse says, they sacrifice flesh for sacrifices of mine offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. The book of Galatians now. I won't have time to go through all of this, but we've read this many times. Galatians, the 6th chapter. It says this. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The four laws of harvest are this: we reap what we sow, we reap more than we sow, we reap where we sow, and we reap in a different season. And these two scriptures I just read in Hosea and Galatians bear that out. We're going to sow the wind. We're going to reap a whirlwind. We're going to reap what we sow, more than we sow, where we sow, and we're going to reap in a different season. We need to be careful, so careful in life, that we not sow bad things, because it's not going to come up just one little thing that we've done. It comes up several times more, and we said, oh my Lord, help us. God help us. I know what I'm talking about. When you have a large family, you'll find those things out. Psalms 32, 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old, and my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You forgive the iniquity. The reason that I got into the mess that I got into, you forgive the iniquity of it. He goes further than just the actual transgression of picking up and stealing something, but it's that part of us that coveted that thing before we actually went and picked it up. And he said, thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. I hope we can see this today. I hope the Lord clears this up in our heart. We can't regard iniquity. We can't have a feeling for it. It's horrible. We're gonna sow one thing and it's going to reap hundreds of other things. So God help us today to get a hold of it all. In the book of Isaiah, 53rd chapter of Isaiah, there's a scripture here that said he's laid the iniquity. 53 and 5 and 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own ways, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, thank the Lord for that wonderful, the Lamb of God that died for us and took all these things upon him. Folks, some of the hand-me-downs we get from former generations is unresolved anger. Do you come from a list of angry parents? Were your mom and dad, your grandparents, were they angry? Beware, because that same thing they had transfers and it can come right down to us. And it will. Their anger, their uncontrolled passions, whatever they lacked, those things can transfer and come right down to us. And it will. And there's different... All of us come from Adam. All of us come from Adam. Every one of us here today come from Adam. But there's peculiar little traits and weaknesses. I think the book of Hebrews says that the besetting sin which does so easily beset us, there's things that come in little traits and trickle down to you today that have come in your family, and we need to be aware of them. Time that we get over some of the hurts. There's some deep hurts, and you know what? I have watched how those hurts are picked up from one person, and they go to the next, and they go to the next, and they just pass right down. Transfer right on down. Oh, be careful. Infidelity, alcoholism, and different things. We have much to deal with today. May the Lord bless us today and open our understanding. This is not a place to condemn you. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to show us today where some of our problems, the root causes, come from. And what we're dealing with, and how we need to be careful people. How we need to be watchful and prayerful, and we need to deal with things in the proper way. The book of Ezekiel again, if you'll bear with me. I'd like to look here at the 18th chapter of Ezekiel. There is a verse of scripture here I'd like to look at. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, "What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord, the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The children were picking up this proverb and saying among themselves, "Our fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." In other words, what they were saying, my faults today is all because of my parents. They've done this and my teeth are set on edge. It's affected me. And he said, you're not going to have occasion to use this proverb anymore. He said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And he goes on in this chapter and he explains and brings out, you're responsible for the sins that you commit. You can't hide under this feeling and under this little umbrella that they were hiding under and saying, all my problems are my parents. That's all. It's all them. It's all them. He said, you will not be able to use that occasion to do this anymore. We're going to bear our own problems. We're responsible for what we do. I'm not responsible for... In a sense, and please understand me today, if I sin, I'm going to pay the price for that. I can't blame that on my parents. If I do something wrong, I'm going to have to give an account of myself to God. And he's trying to bring this out. So, the Lord help us today that we accept the responsibility that's ours, that we not try to slough it off, we not try to put it on someone else. I know people that say, don't blame me. They're bumper stickers. Don't blame me. I didn't vote for him. If anything goes wrong, don't blame me. But they take this further into their spiritual life. Oh, all my problems is because of my parents. And they've left me this way. Believe me, we've got to get a hold of the Word of God and see where we're responsible ourselves. May God bless us today. I'm not going to be able to finish all of this today, but The book of Luke, 11th chapter of Luke 11, it says something that's very pertinent to what we're talking about today. 11:46, Jesus said this, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres." Do you see what he was looking at today? Jesus was saying, fill you up the measure of your fathers. He said, your fathers killed them and you're building their sepulchres. You're continuing right on by the spirit that you're manifesting here that's just like your parents. It's just like your forefathers. Your forefathers, they killed them, and now you're coming along and you're building the sepulchres. You're in the same agreement. You're in the same mold. You're of the same fashion that they were. And you're continuing that right on down. Oh, be careful today, dear ones, that we not follow and carry the spirit of iniquity, the spirit of grudges, the spirit of things, of bitterness and what have you, and just keep passing that down on to the next and the next. I've watched this. I've seen it with my own eyes, how this thing works. And it'll carry on to generation after generation. And people have these little quirks and little things, and they'll pick that up. And it's a little picky spirit, or it's a little grudge, or it's a little bit of bitterness, or a little something. And it just goes from one to the other. You know, we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account for what we've done. Jesus recognized it so clearly. He brings it out in his teaching. And many others have recognized this too. Daniel, in the book of Daniel 9:16, he said, he stood up and he prayed. He said, Father, forgive us for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. In Nehemiah 9:2, the seed of Israel separated themselves and they confessed what? Their sins and their iniquities of their fathers. I have many other scriptures here that I could read to you today. We've run out of time. But I believe the Lord wants us to have a control over iniquity. In the book of Psalms 119 and 133, you can feel free to read this. He said, "Let not iniquity have dominion over me. Let it not have dominion over me." Oh, the good thing this morning, I don't care what your family history is. Alcoholics, drugs, grudge-bearing people, bitter people. But you can come clean from all of that. That's the beautiful thing. The Lord said, I'm gonna visit and I'm going to show mercy to thousands of them that love me. Oh, if you today, your family, your back history, and some of us, I wouldn't want to tell you about some of our my relatives. But I can tell you, they didn't have angel wings. They carried pitchforks. These folks were not very good. Some of my past history. And you're grinning, but I have a feeling there's some of yours that was about like mine. They weren't too good a folk. And they might just not been people that love their neighbors themselves. But the good thing this morning, all of us come from different backgrounds. All of us today have histories of different people in our backgrounds. But he said, you've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. You've come to a place, the Lord has brought you now to a city and a place of forgiveness, a place when you can bury all of those old past sins. You can leave everything behind you. You don't have to bring any of that baggage. Now you can get rid of it. You don't have to carry those old things anymore. Your parents did. Your grandparents, your brothers, your sisters. And you don't have to carry that anymore. This is the beautiful part about this. I see such a hope with the Lord. He's shown loving kindness. Jeremiah 32:18. I want to show loving kindness unto thousands. He's going to show to thousands this loving kindness, and it's going to be so wonderful. You've come to a city. You've come to a people now that recognize what sin is and iniquity. They know where they've come from, and they've been forgiven. I'm going to tell you, everyone in here today that's been saved, they've been washed with this same blood. You can experience too. It's a wonderful thing. We're blessed this morning, folks. We're blessed to be forgiven, to have this, all these loads of sin erased from our lives and have us changed. I know some have come from good parents and good backgrounds, but some of us haven't. And the good thing today is God loves us and He wants to help us and He wants to visit us and clean everything, get it taken care of. I trust the Lord will richly bless you today, that we will each one see this great benefit and blessing that we have experienced in being forgiven. It's a wonderful thing. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.